On this Thanksgiving Sunday, I direct your attention to Psalm 103. I am going to read the first 12 verses of this Thanksgiving note. Psalm 103, I shall begin reading at verse 1. Before we read the Word of God, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful today that we have a country where we still have the freedom and the liberty to worship Thee. We pray now that as we have our Bibles opened, that our hearts would be open, that we would express the gratitude and the thanksgiving in our souls for Thy goodness and mercy and kindness to us. Grant, O God, today through the reading of the Scripture and the preaching of the Word, that those who are without Christ might come to know Him as personal Savior, that those who are seeking a church home might identify with this church, that those who need a special portion of grace for their daily lives, that they might find it here in these moments as we wait upon Thee. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. I say with the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I read once that an American soldier was talking with a Russian. This was in the days of World War II, when Joseph Stalin was in power in the Kremlin. The American soldier had several occasions for which to say, "Thank God." When the Russian soldier felt that he had something to express gratitude for, he said, "Thank Stalin." Then the American soldier said to him, "When Joseph Stalin dies, what are you going to say?" "Thank God. Thank God." That's the title of my message this morning. Simply, thank God. As we look back over the history of our nation, when we recognize the spirit of thanksgiving, we must be reminded today that in these centuries that have followed since that first Thanksgiving Day, we can say, "Thank God, from whom all blessings flow." There are three different Thanksgiving heretics. Now, heresy is a departure from the truth. First, there's the person who observes the Thanksgiving feast but doesn't give thanks. Second, there is the person who observes the Thanksgiving feast and feels he doesn't have anything to be thankful for. I wish that I could take such people as that with me through the hospitals and the rest homes and the crippled children's homes. And then that kind of person would be forced to thank God that they can see, they can walk, they can talk, they can eat, and they can operate every day. Then there's the third, who observes the Thanksgiving feast without any remembrance of those who have nothing to eat. Could I say to you today, when you sit down on Thursday or any day and partake of the feast of the good things of the Lord, remember, while you eat, there are those who are starving to death. When you drive your car, remember, there are those who are walking. When you dress in your fine clothes, remember, there are those who are naked and destitute. When you lie down tonight in a comfortable bed, remember there are those who have not a bed to lay their head. Thanksgiving. Thank God. Well, there are a number of things that we could thank God for this morning. I shall mention only a few. First of all, I say thank God for Jesus. His very name means Savior. And Peter said in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Did you know that without Jesus, there would be no way? Jesus said, "I am the way." Without Jesus, there would be no life. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Without Jesus, there would be no truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." Without Jesus, there would be no light. For Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." No wonder Paul said, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Indescribable, unfathomable, unimaginable, indescribable gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, without Jesus, you'd go to hell. Without Jesus, you'd stand before the judge of the universe, condemned to an eternal, everlasting, unending, perishing destiny. Without Jesus, there would be unspeakable darkness. Without Jesus, there would be unspeakable death. Without Jesus, there would be unspeakable judgment. So I say on Thanksgiving Sunday, thank God for Jesus. Then I want to say aloud and clear this morning, thank God for the Bible. Don't take it for granted. Did you ever consider the cost of this book? Has it dawned upon you the hundreds of years that this book was in making? Why, beloved, this book cost the lives of untold thousands of people. Holy Bible, book divine, precious treasure, thou art mine. I thank God for this book because it tells me about my Savior. It tells me about life. It tells me about joy. It tells me about peace and happiness, not only in this life, but in the world to come. The book of books. The book of God. This book has sailed every ocean. This book has crossed every desert. This book has climbed every mountain. It's gone through every valley. Why, this book has gone through the den of lions. This book has gone through the fiery furnace. This book has gone through the Roman prisons. This book has survived the reign of terror of Bloody Mary, who gathered them all together and burned them in her day. Oh, this book is a road map to heaven. This book is food for the soul. This book is a sword to fight with. This book is the love story of God for an unlovable world. Someone asked a retired preacher once, "What is your favorite passage of Scripture?" And he said, "Well, when I begin to think about a favorite passage of Scripture, dozens of passages flood my mind. For," he said, "you see, when it is stormy, I need a cloak, and I find it in the Word of God. When I am lonely, I need a companion, and I find a companion in the Word of God. When I am lost, I need to find my way, and I discover it in the Word of God. When it is cold, I want a sunny wall to stand by, and I find it in the Word of God. When my heart is overwhelmed with sorrow, and I need comfort, I find it in the Word of God." So he said, "You see, it's like asking me which is my favorite eye. The one I might lose might be the one I need the most. All thy precepts," the psalmist said, "I esteem." I tell you this morning, I would be hard put to give to you my favorite verse, because all of the verses are favorite. All the Word of God is like salve to a troubled soul. Thank God for the Bible. I read about a man who was in a hotel in Chicago. His home was in New York. And this man had been embezzling company funds. in order to keep off the pangs of conscience, he'd get up early every morning and go to work and work all day and carouse all night, just trying to forget the fact that one day his sins would find him out and he would be exposed. One morning, he was sharpening his razor on the old-fashioned leather strap. And as he stropped it, he looked around to find a piece of paper to wipe the blade. You don't dare wipe it with a piece of cloth. And he couldn't find a piece of paper, so he just reached for the Gideon Bible and tore out a sheet and wiped off the blade of his old-fashioned straight razor. And as he looked, his eyes fell upon these words: "The wages of sin is death." And it struck him like a dagger. And so he unfolded and smoothed out that piece of paper, and he read the other half of that verse: "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." That man said, "I read the Bible for 2 hours, and I was pierced and convicted in my soul. Down on my knees I went, and I asked God to forgive and to save me, and he did." Thank God for the Bible. You could take a page out of the Sears Roebuck catalog and it wouldn't do that. You could take a page out of the phone book and it wouldn't do that. You could take a page out of science and it wouldn't do that. You could take a page out of history, out of math, out of English, out of philosophy, and they wouldn't do that. But the Word of God will do it. Mister, let me say to you this morning, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God for the Bible. And then I exclaim loudly and clearly this morning, thank God for the church. Oh, the church has been so railed upon in these days. There is an undeclared war raging against the church. The church is important because of its founder, Jesus. The church is important because of its foundation, Jesus. The church is important because of its message, Jesus. The church is important because of its head, Jesus. I tell you this morning that everything that this preacher has today, everything, I mean everything, excluding none, excluding nothing, everything that I have this morning, I owe it to the church of Jesus Christ. I love the church. When Jesus died, he died for the church. When he gave a commission, he gave it to the church. When he wrote a letter, he wrote it to the church. Bless your heart, when he comes again, he's coming for the church. I say this morning, thank God for the church. Then I say this morning, thank God for the home. Too often we take our homes for granted. Thank God for the home. Someone has defined home as a place where strife is shut out and love is locked in. Someone else defined the home as the father's kingdom, the mother's world, and the children's paradise. Someone else has defined the home as the place where we grumble most, but are treated the best. Someone else has defined the home as the place where we get 3 square meals a day for our stomach and 1,000 for our heart. Home. No wonder John Payne wrote, "Mid pleasure and peril wherever I roam, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home." A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're preparing for me a palace over there. Though exiled from home, I now roam. I now can say, all glory to God, I'm a child of the King. Thank God for home. My earliest recollections of home are sweet to me today. For I cannot remember a day when my dad, and when he was not at home, my mother, and if by chance both of them were gone, one of the children, all 9 of us, strung out. The word of God was read, and prayer was offered. I shall never forget the day that I left home. You remember the first day you left home? Why, that was a sad day. We left home loaded up in an old 41 Plymouth. 7 grown people and 2 children, headed for the Bible Baptist Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. And you know, as we left early in the morning, and as we rode along, things weren't so bad as long as the sun was up high. I tell you, when the old sun started going down, I started looking back. I wanted to get the last glimpse. Well, it's never been the same since. My dad gave me a little testament, and he scribbled on the inside of it, "Read a portion of this book every day. Thank God for home." You know, when we've been out there fighting the battles of life all day long, we run to refuge in the home. Thank God for home. Mother may be gone. Daddy may be gone. The circle may be broken. But still we say, thank God for home. I say this morning, thank God for the hope that we have. I read the newspapers. I saw in the paper this morning where Egypt has vowed that she will declare war. Where Egypt has said, we will fight and we will delay no longer. Don't be surprised if Israel is attacked today, or tomorrow, or in the near future. There's more behind it than Egypt. There's Russia. There's more behind it than Russia. There's the power of Satan in an attempt again to destroy the people of God, the nation Israel. I'm glad this morning that our hope is not in the government, for one day government is going to collapse. Our hope today is not in the dollar, because the dollar is losing its purchasing power. Our hope is not in the arms race or the space race or the political race, but our hope is in the coming of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Two things will happen when Jesus comes. One, resurrection. The resurrection of every believer who has died in the faith. And two, the translation of every living Christian. Thank God for our hope, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His coming again. I say to you this morning, if you are without the Savior, don't go another day without the Lord. For you see, without Him you have no hope. Oh, you say, but preacher, I've got a good job. I'm glad. Be good to it if you've got a good one. Oh, but preacher, I've got money laid by in the bank just in case I get sick. That's good. Oh, but you're saying when that runs out, I've got an insurance policy that'll take it up and pay out all of my bills and take care of my children. That's good. But let me ask you a question. When the doctor shakes his head, and the perspiration of death is on your brow, what then? The insurance policy is not going to be any good then for you. The money you've got laid by is not going to be any good for you. The home, the farm, the ranch, the cattle, all of these things will lose their significance then. The only one that can help you then is Jesus. Do you have Him today? Can you say thank God for Jesus? Ten years ago, this last week, I stood by the grave of the best preacher I ever knew. My dad. And I say that without any apology or without boasting. And I shall never forget. My sister-in-law put her arms around me. And she said, Raymond, you've got some big shoes to fill. It was downpouring rain. It was so dark in the middle of the afternoon that the headlights of the cars had to be turned on. And we left that soggy, wet grave. But I'm glad this morning to say to you, I thank God for a hope in the coming of the Lord Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, and the translation of the living. It may not have been long since you've done the same. This week you might be called on to take a loved one to yonder's grave and plant that one in the Mother Earth. But that's not the end. Thank God for hope in the coming of the Lord Jesus, in the resurrection of the dead, in the translation of the living. So I just say this morning, and I know you want to say it with me, thank God for Jesus, for the Bible, for the church, for the home, and for the hope. And I've got a footnote and I'm through. Thank God for a time of decision. You don't have to go away this morning empty, discouraged, despondent. You don't have to go away unsaved. You don't have to go away alone. You can take Jesus with you. Remember what Jesus said to Zacchaeus. Come down, for this day I must abide at thy house. Thank God for the appeal, for the invitation, for the time of decision, for your life and mine. Let us stand for our prayer. While our heads are bowed and before the choir sings prayerfully a stanza or two of the invitation, I want us to pray. I want you to ask yourself this question. Can I really say thank God for Jesus, for the Bible, for the church, for the home, and for the blessed hope? Do you have these to embrace today? Do you have the Lord Jesus in your heart and life? Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Do you have a church home? Do you love the Bible, the Word of God? Do you have a hope that beyond this life there's something better for you? You can have it, and I pray that you'll accept it this morning as we make the appeal to come to Christ, to come to an altar prayer, to come to a fellowship like Worth Baptist. Our Father, we ask this morning that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. We ask this morning that thy power might be made manifest in our midst, even now. For those who do not know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, may they come and trust Him. For those who need to make an absolute, total commitment of their lives to Christ, may they come and make that commitment today. For those who need a church home, for those who need a prayer of encouragement, a prayer of strength and dedication, may they come today. For those, dear Lord, who have a prayer of thanksgiving in their hearts, who feel that they must pray it to Thee about this altar, may they come today. In Jesus' name we ask it. In a moment, while the choir sings the invitation, while you're in prayer, I make this appeal to you. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, come this morning and trust Him. You say, but preach, I don't know how. That's why we're here. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You mean that's all I've got to do? That's what the book says. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but you need to come to this altar for prayer, maybe there's a prayer of thanksgiving in your heart that you want to pray here today, you come. Maybe you want to become a member of Worth Baptist by letter from another Baptist church, by baptism, you come. Whatever your need is, while the choir sings this first stanza and while you remain with your heads bowed in prayer, who'll be first to come today while the Holy Spirit speaks?